welcome everybody to another edition of Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. I'm very, very, very excited today. I hope everybody had a wonderful day. Certainly, we have choices in how our day goes. I mean, we have choices in how we respond to the issues of life, the challenges slash opportunities of life. So I hope that everybody is taking the opportunity to grow through the challenges by keeping an optimistic attitude, because life is good and we have an opportunity to enjoy life, and a lot of that is going to depend on our outlook. So I certainly hope that everybody is keeping a positive outlook and enjoying your life. Happy New Year to those who are just tuning in for the very first time. I'm very excited again today. I have an opportunity for the first time this year, the very first show this year, with King Coy Dunstan. If you've been following us, you know that he's regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. He's actually the longest standing regular on this show. We have regular guests that come on monthly. We have King Coy Dunstan, who comes on monthly. We have Dr. Ruby Lathan, who comes on monthly. We also have Dr. Ted Watkins, who's a regular, who comes on monthly. And just this year we added Queen Marietta Preston. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, and or if you've been tuning in and you don't know who she is, go back and check out the archives. We did an awesome show with her on Kundalini Yoga and the chakras. So she's the newest member to Health, Wealth, and Divine. We're very happy to have her along. But again, today we have the opportunity to speak with our longest standing member. I've been interviewing Coy for over 10 years, dating back to my WOL XM radio days. And I'm just so very, very fortunate that he has been agreeable to be my guest for so many years. It's been such an honor. I've learned so much from this brother. I mean, it's just hard to put into words, and I'm sure that those of you who have been listening for a while, you've been learning as well as I have. So today is, again, the first show with King Coy this year, 2017, and we're going to be talking about how to prevent heart attack and stroke, how to prevent heart attack and stroke. And so I hope everybody, if you know of somebody who has had either or both of these conditions, you might want to get on the phone and call them and tell them to tune in, or definitely share this link to this show with. So, without further ado, I want to get to my special guest, Brother Coy. Welcome. Happy New Year to you, my brother. Always a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you. First time this year to do a show, and I'm really excited, and I'm just happy to have you back one more year, my brother. Thank you for being my guest.
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you again. Anytime I can, I will, and I wish you a great and happy and a healthy and a prosperous New Year. And I wish that to your audience and to your family.
Thank you so much, my brother. You know, we're going to be talking about how to prevent heart attack and stroke. And, you know, as I was just doing a recent interview with Dr. Lathan, I was mentioning that there are a lot of people in recent times, and probably the last 10, 15 years, there are a lot of people that have started to use the word healer in reference to themselves and, you know, what it is that they do. It's almost become faddish for an individual who's on some spiritual path to refer to themselves, to give themselves that title, that, you know, hey, they're a healer. Well, fall into the category of somebody that has really, really, I mean, you know firsthand what the power of a plant-based diet can do, because you actually are a healer. You actually have used a plant-based nutrition, plant-based diet to actually reverse your mother's cancer condition after the doctors had given up hope on her. They had given her 6 weeks to live, and you, in your quest to, you know, just help to alleviate the pain and alleviate the suffering that she was going through, ended up saving her life. And I mean, that is so remarkable to me, and you definitely have earned the title of a healer, because you actually cured your mother of cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon, and she was the very first person that you had actually taken from a meat-eating diet to a plant-based diet. She was the very first person that you had actually used herbs with, and results that you saw were so magnificent. I mean, I can't even overstate it if I wanted to. I mean, this is information that should have made the news. You should have been in the newspaper. You should have been, your face should have been all over television, because this is big. I mean, this is huge, and I want to make sure that the listeners really understand just what a remarkable feat that was for you to do that. You have done what medical doctors have yet to do, you know, and doing it and did it on the first time. I mean, that to me is so remarkable. There are people that have heard your testimony, and I know that they are inspired every time they hear it, and then there are going to be those who are tuning in for the first time and hearing you for the first time that haven't heard it. Could you share your remarkable testimony about how the condition with your mother actually brought you to the holistic health and healing path?
Yeah, well, this was back in 1980. I just graduated from law school. I was going home just to get a break and take a little R&R. And I get to my home, which is in Lewisburg, North Carolina. And my mother had just come from the doctor, and she said that the doctor told her to go to Duke University as soon as she could, because he couldn't tell her what was wrong with her, but he knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, my father and I got up, and we drove down to Duke University. They kept us there all day, and that toward the end of the day, they came out and told us they were going to keep her, and they think that she had cancer of the breast. It seemed to have metastasized to the liver and the colon, and the prognosis wasn't good. So they kept her there for 3-4 days before they really confirmed what was going on, and they did whatever they did for her while she was there. And after about 3 weeks, they say, well, you can't stay here. You got to go, or take chemotherapy or something. So she asked me, what would I do if it was me in the seat, and not knowing anything. I mean, I was surprised she even asked. But I say, well, it is, from what I can tell, I don't know anyone that have really survived chemotherapy or that it has really helped them live better or heal them. And if it was me, I think I would just get my bags, go home, and, settle down, get ready to meet my maker. So she took my advice. We left, took her home. This was about a month after we had first taken her to the hospital. And we sit around and we talked about it. You know, she wasn't very talkative, and she felt like she had been dealt a bad hand or something, and really got quite angry about it. So I just had to stay there to just kind of work through it with her. She was very, very, very angry about the situation, and I had to first settle her down. And once she got settled down and decided to live, we were able to get together and work out a program of life. And by that time, another 2 or 3 weeks had passed, and I had been doing research on what I could do, or what is the way to heal the body. And I ran into this company called Nature Sunshine, and they seemed to have all the products and the education and the understanding enough about the body that I was able to pick it up and apply it to my mother. And we started fasting. We started reducing the animal product in the diet. We're basically going to a plant-based diet. We started juicing. We started praying. We started fasting, all of those things together. And after about 3 months, she went back to the doctor, and the doctor was amazed that she was still alive. And he said, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because it's doing more for you than I can. So we continued to do it, and around that time, a product called Padiaco came on the scene. And people were raving about it, emptying the cancer wards down in Mexico. And so it got into the country. We got some of it, and we started using that and never looked back. She was, from then on, the party alcohol did stop the cancer's growth, and it completely corrected the condition. And she went on to live 10 years after that and wound up in the pulpit preaching before she died. So I was, after that, wow. There was nothing else I could do. I had to drop everything, and I'd start proselytizing people about what they need to do to get well, and they don't have to be sick, and I've been doing it ever since.
It's your whole career, huh?
That's it.
Something like that would do that. Something like that would your whole career.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what's interesting? That the doctors were like, hey, just keep on doing what you're doing, and it's amazing that they didn't just implies that maybe they had got it wrong and that maybe they had misdiagnosed her, as opposed to, you know, just saying, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. Because a lot of times when you've been, you know, especially if you've gone to school for something and you've been very staunch in your opinion about a particular thing, as doctors tend to be when it comes to, you know, their training, you know, it's amazing that they just didn't just come out and say, well, you know, since the cancer's gone, maybe it wasn't even cancer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. But they couldn't do that because they had invested too much in trying to get her into that system of medical, it's really medical genocide. If you get into the system, really anything they do for you is not going to really heal you. It may give you some temporary relief. You may feel better for a minute, and then you may die right away. But they are not known to, they are not healers, so to speak. They peddle medicines and pills and machines to really do diagnosis, and all this doing is really making your body weaker, and it's making you more susceptible to diseases further down the road. And I think they know that. And and as long as we don't know that, then they can get away with it. But I think people are waking up real fast, and things are going to change pretty quick, I think, this year.
You know, Brother Coy, you mentioned something. You mentioned that your mother was pretty, you know, angry about the situation, and that she felt like she had been dealt a bad hand. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming, because just from what I know about you, being a spiritual brother yourself, I take it that she was a spiritual lady. And,
you know,
probably lived her life in a way that
I think that contributed to it a little bit, because, you know, she was, I guess, called herself living right, raised a family, and had to stay with the same man all her life, and wound up like this. I guess she felt like it just wasn't enough to, whatever it was, it wasn't good enough for God to look out for her and keep her well. But on the other hand, I think she just didn't have enough understanding about how she got in the condition she was in, and what happened to get her there in the final stages. I think, and that's a process you go through. Once you go to a doctor and they tell you you're going to die, that's part of the process. You get into this why me mode, and you get this anger, and you get this, and you got to work through that with them until they get to a place to where they decide to live. And only their own mind, in their own mind, can they decide to live. A doctor can't tell them that, and no one else can really tell them that. You can just kind of help them through that process and get them past it, so you can instill in them that it's up to them whether or not they live or die.
You know, and that's where I wanted to, that's where I was going with it, you know, that because here you take somebody, your mom, who was a spiritual lady, lived life the best that she could, you know, I guess following the golden rule, you know, doing serving God the best that she knew how to do so, and then in spite of that, that this still ended up with this diagnosis. And the point I want to bring out here is that there are a lot of people out there that are serving the God of their understanding, regardless of what the religion is, whether it's, you know, Christian, Muslim, Hebrew, whatever, you know, indigenous African religion, whatever the religion is. An atheist, a person that doesn't even believe in God, if they eat right, and exercise and, you know, follow the dietary laws, whether knowingly or unknowingly, they're going to live. Okay.
Well,
and
that's
if you
the problem.
Call your...
we don't like to obey what our mother and father tell us, and we don't like to, we don't believe what the Bible say. That's really the problem. Even though we say we are Christians, if you really get into the Bible, it's hard for us to match what's in the Bible with how we live. So we can't really blame God. It's not really God. It's just we haven't progressed as Christians far enough to really understand the whole process of life and how it works.
And even for those who are, let's say, Muslim or Hebrew or whatever the case is, again, you know, I always tell people an apple doesn't care what you believe. An apple don't care what your faith is. An apple, if you ingest it, is going to do whatever the nutrients that are in that apple is going to provide the body with what it needs to, you know, whatever nutrients the apple, you know, contains. And if you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hebrew or whatever the case is, if you do not ingest the apple, then you will not get the nutrients that is in the apple. You know, if you do not exercise, you will not get the
benefits. That's about as simple as it gets,
So I just wanted to bring that point out because your mother's, the way she lived her life, you know, being moral, you know, having the morals that would even cause her to be angry, okay? It was because she was living her life in a particular way that made her feel like this is not fair. You know, had she been out there, you know, doing whatever, living her life in a way that, you know, didn't, you know, support her faith, then she wouldn't have been angry. She'd have been like, okay, well, this is my just punishment for not living right. You know what I mean? But she was living according to the best that she knew how, and in spite of that, still ended up with this. So my point is for those people who feel that your faith is going to save you, you know, then there are some things that you have to do in addition to your faith that are, there are dietary laws, okay? And those laws cut across whatever label you might put, you know, on your faith, you know. Yes. So I just wanted to bring that point out because I thought that that was very important. And I'm just so very fortunate, brother, that even in your attempting, not just an attempt, it was a successful attempt to help her, it changed your life. And because of her, here we are today having this discussion. And I know it has to blow your mind. I'm sure over the years that, you know, you've had to have moments where you're like, you're looking at what you've done, not just with her, but subsequently the people whose lives you've touched since then. You know, it's got to blow your mind that just how your life changed as a result of, you know, dealing with your mother, her again being the first person that you worked with.
It has, and it's still today, it still does, because so many times we don't hear what people say, or we don't act on what people say, and as a result, we go into these conditions unnecessarily, and that's because we think it's not going to happen to us, or we think we go to church every Sunday and God's going to take care of us. And we think we don't have to do anything to get the grace of God, but that's not the way it works. You gotta stay in the way, and you gotta stay do what the words say, and obey your mother and father. All of those things play into it, and that's over your lifetime. So if you don't get that when you are born in a way that is true and it you understand it, your faith will be incomplete, and even though you may have faith, you won't have enough faith in God for God to do what he needs to do in your life, and that's to heal you.
Well, brother, again, I'm just thankful that, you know, at some point our paths crossed, and I've been interviewing you ever since. Again, and again, I always recommend and refer people to you, you know, because, again, the information that you share, it's clear that you know what you're talking about. I've come to you myself, and so very, very fortunate enough to have you, and so I want to encourage all of the listeners that are hearing you today, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, we're going to tell you where King Koi's shop is. It's called Secrets of Nature. It's in Washington, D.C. Going to encourage you to get by there and support our brother here, because he supported us, again, for over 30 years, and so we're very, very fortunate to have him. So again, tonight we're going to be talking about how to prevent heart attack and stroke. How to prevent heart attack and stroke. You know, Brother Koya, you know, that's a heavy one. And as I was looking on, doing some research today on heart attack and stroke, what I found was interesting is that they were, a lot of the information was, they were linked together. You know, they were linked together like they were in the same category or something, heart attack and stroke. When a person is listed, you want to take them one at a time, when a person is actually having a heart attack, and well, first let me ask you this. When it comes to the linkage of these two, I would have thought they were separate, but they everywhere I look, they were linked together. That has to be for a reason. Is it because of the same thing or the same lack of or particular lifestyle is causing both? And I mean, and I'm sure it goes beyond just, you know, what you eat, but we're going to get into cholesterol, I'm sure. Why do you think they were linked together like that? I mean, they were linked together like cousins.
Well, they're linked together because it all comes from your blood circulating through your system, how clean your arteries are, clean your blood is. All of that is comes out of the, both of them comes out of the circulatory system, which is your heart. Now, in the case of a heart attack, it's the blood flow is restricted to the heart. In the case of a stroke, the blood flow is restricted to the head. And that's basically the difference in them. But they're both basically caused and come from the same thing, yes.
Well, could you talk about the role that diet plays in all of this, the restriction and the plaque that builds up in the arteries? You know, just talking about a heart attack, I was reading that, you know, the blood flow that brings oxygen to the heart muscle is severely reduced or cut off completely, you know, and that's, you know, animal fat plays a part of that. Could you talk about that?
Well, not only animal fat, stress is a big part of it, not taking care of yourself properly or resting properly. But as we go into this and as I learn more about it myself, we are finding out that it may not be as much as the animal fat that's the culprit as it is, or it may not be as much of a, the salt may not be as much of a culprit as we think it is when it comes to high blood pressure, which is a precursor to stroke. And so we're learning now that the elephant in the room is sugar. So we are saying that we have to learn how to restrict our intake of sugar or how to use sugar in a way that it doesn't leach everything. What the sugar does, it leaches all the minerals out of your system. So there's nothing there to protect your blood or your circulation system or to keep the cholesterol down because your blood is using up everything to try to feed the rest of the body. But we are not giving it anything to feed the rest of the body, and sugar will deplete the blood even more and will clog the veins and arteries even more, and it also causes you to forget. So the more sugar you use, the less likely you are to be able to come out of it. So you keep doing the same thing, and over time it just really breaks the body down, and it attacks the heart or it attacks the brain. So that's and also this lately we've been hearing a lot about hot food. You know, we say a lot of people don't like hot food or they can't eat it or they don't want it. But we're learning now that the peppers, the hot peppers, is probably the best thing to open those arteries up and get the blood circulating back again. So the use of capsicum is very important in using to push the blood flow or to open up the arteries or to improve circulation all throughout the body. So now we have a reason now that, probably most people, I would say over 50% of the people, don't like hot food. But that's because maybe they haven't tried to eat it or maybe they eat it too hot, too fast. Maybe they should introduce a little bit each time they eat, just a little bit more until they're able to tolerate it. And they'll find that overall it's going to give them a better energy level, a better blood flow, and all the other things that go along with having a healthy circulatory system. So that's two things we are learning now, that sugar plays a major role in strokes. And over the last year, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, it just seems like more and more people are having strokes. It's more so than cancer now. And it's I'm concerning about that because it hits you right at the time when you're ready to make a contribution, your greatest contribution. You come down with a stroke, and if you go back and look at a person that had a stroke, and you'll find probably that they have a sugar habit that no one has ever addressed or talked to them about, and so they feel it's okay to eat that candy or to eat that cake or to go to a donut shop or wherever they go to get it, because no one has said that sugar can be a major cause of strokes and heart attack. So that's one word I want to leave with the audience tonight, that they have to watch their sugar intake and learn how to use sugar so that it won't take you out. You don't have to have sugar every time you eat. You don't have to have sugar every day, because it's already in most of the stuff that we eat. And if your diet is right, there are the natural sugars in the diet that your body needs that will prevent what the artificial sugars or the added sugars that we put in the diet. The natural foods have the sugars to prevent the harmful effects of the added sugar that we put in the diet. But now everything, almost everything, got sugar in it, and you have to just be careful of it. To the point to where you almost have to force yourself not to eat certain things because of the sugar content. And if you do eat it, then you know you got to add the hot peppers to it so that you can at least push it through the circulation system and make it stronger. So that's the big news tonight, is taking advantage of some of the information that is coming out now in terms of heart attacks and strokes. So that's where we are.
What about brown sugar? As opposed, I'm sure I could hear somebody out there saying, "Well, look, I don't eat the white stuff, the refined white sugar. I eat, you know, brown sugar." I mean, I've heard you say, "Good, better, and best." Is there much difference in brown versus white sugar?
Well, the brown sugar it's brown because it has some nutritional value. So if you're going to eat a sugar, the brown sugar would be preferable to a processed or a white sugar. But even the brown sugar is going to still give you when the sugar get in the body, it's like a drug. When you put the drug in the body, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's going to do what it's going to do. And sugar's the same way. If you put too much added sugar in, you're going to build up that you're going to weaken the circulatory system, and you're going to wind up breaking down the integrity of the heart and the brain. And that's the condition that we have to look at. But yeah, in terms of good, better, best, if you're a sugar junkie and you know it, and you can find stuff with brown sugar in it, that's better. But if you buying stuff out of a store, or if you're cooking at home, you're going to have a hard time finding products with brown sugar in it, or finding products you can cook with brown sugar. So that's another whole class in itself. But yeah, it would be better, but in the long run, it's best to try to curtail your sugar as best you can and begin to understand the sugars that are normally in the foods and why glycogen, which is a sugar that your body needs. But if you get too much artificial sugar, you're going to run into the problem of just destroying the benefits of whatever good sugar you get out of your foods. So the added sugar is what you're looking at primarily, and you don't want to add any extra sugar unless you can help it. But yes, if you got to add sugar, brown sugar is better. Maybe raw honey agave, all of those things. You have to acquire a taste, because it won't taste the same as the artificial sugars, because the artificial sugars are basically made in a laboratory. Most of the foods that we eat, the sugar is added in so that it will cause you to eat more. It creates addictions and it leads to other complications in the body when you start trying to buy food that's already prepared because they use the sugar a lot to addict you to their food and you buy more. And that's what you have to watch out when you are dealing with sugar. So we have to be careful when we buy stuff. We have to go. We have to look at the label, and we have to see the milligrams of sugar in it. And beyond that, we have to know what kind of sugar it is, and how can we find out these things. And then you can begin to make some assessment about what's best for you. But I would say if you got a sweet taste, stay with the fruits, stay with the vegetables. I mean, stay with the fruits, the fruits and the berries and the naturally sweet fruit and vegetables. And you'll be fine with that. But if you feel like you got to have some sugar, it's because somewhere along the line you've gotten addicted to that cookie or you got addicted to that cracker because that's what they gave you to that's just what they gave you to get you to eat their products, and that's what's happening to us. They're hyping us up with this sugar so that we can come back and buy their products, and that's something we have to be mindful of in terms of how we decide to eat and what we eat.
You know, I'm sure that this show so far has been an eye-opener to a lot of people, even myself included. I mean, you know, because when we think of sugar and the complications that arise as a result of overindulging in sugar, the first thing that comes to people's mind is diabetes, you know, heart trouble,
right.
Or stroke. So
but
that is the
first step to heart disease is the pancreas, is the diabetes, is the sugar. That's the first step. That's the biggest warning we get is the diabetes. The next step is a heart attack or a stroke. But that is a precursor to a stroke or a heart attack is diabetes. So it's there in front of us. We're just not seeing it.
Mm. Any other symptoms? In addition, we got to cut back.
Well, you probably be tired and lazy and feel lazy and won't have a lot of energy sometimes. But that's because your body's breaking down and you're just not giving it what it needs to. You're not feeding it properly so that it will. The sugar, like I say, it leaches all the vitamins and minerals out of your body, and it causes your body to go into your teeth, into your bone, and try to find calcium, and that leads to the osteosporosis and all the other stuff that we get. So sugar is a deadly, deadly substance, and it's used to control people primarily.
Well, let's talk then about, for a moment, just about substitutes. Then, because if you take away something, you got to add something. So for somebody out there that's listening to saying, you know, look, what am I supposed to do now? You know, out there talking about, look, I have sugar with my coffee in the morning, man. What do you, done away my coffee, my tea, my candy bar, my donuts, took away everything. You done took away some bread that's going to turn into sugar. You know, what am I supposed to eat?
You got it. You need to throw all that stuff out, right?
That's the bottom line.
You need to throw it out. But no, I guess if you want a coffee, if you want to put some brown sugar in it. I don't know if brown sugar tastes good in coffee. I'm not really a coffee drinker, but that's just it. We drink the coffee because of the sugar. If you take the sugar away, you wouldn't drink the coffee.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true.
So we got to reframe. We got to rethink how we live and what we're living with because these strokes are no joke, man. If it don't kill you, it can cripple you for the rest of your life, and you don't want to live someone having to take care of you the rest of your life. I'm not trying to do that, even though it might happen, but I ain't trying to do that. So I try to avoid as much as I can in any way I can for as long as I can. So I'm thankful that God has kept me this far, and I'm thankful that I'm able to share this information with other people. But, yes, you got to get involved. You got in your own health. You got to really do some research in terms of what is best for you to eat. And if you find something that's not contributing to your life, then you need to get rid of it. That's it. Otherwise, you might as well be on drugs. I mean, it's no different.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn how to live, eat to live, so that you don't run into these problems later on because of your inability to understand or hear when you hear the truth or to apply it to your own life. So I know it's totally backwards from everything that we know, and we have learned to be and do all the things that we know and be that we do today. But we have to begin the process of unlearning them, and sometimes you need someone to help you through that, and sometimes you need to just sit down and go into yourself and come up with a plan about how you're going to get yourself out of this. So that is what's confronting us at the beginning of this year, and how you decide to deal with those things will in large measure determine how the year ends for you. So the sooner you get started off with it, the better.
Oh, Brother Coy, it's interesting because a lot of times people don't hear you until something has happened.
That's the problem.
You know, I remember one time there was a brother that I actually referred to you once he shared with me that he had cancer. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and he shared that with me, and I suggested that he, you know, give you a call, and he said, "No, Jawanz, I appreciate it, man. You know, but you know, I know these. I'm going to, one of the major hospitals that do cancer treatment." And he was like saying that he was going to go there. They've been doing it for a long time, and so forth and so on. And I begged him. I was like, "Listen, bro, please call Brother Coy. You know, you'll be glad that you did. You won't regret it." He said, "No, Jawanz, I appreciate your help, man. I know you care about me, but I'm going to go. They've scheduled me for radiation and I think chemo." And so, approximately six months later, he called me back, frantic, screaming, begging for your number. Because he's like, "Jawanz, I'm over here spitting up blood," you know. And 2 days later, before he had even a chance to call you, he was dead, you know. And so I relate that. So to the listeners, don't wait until it's too late. You're hearing this information. I don't know what stage or condition of health the listeners are in. You know, I have no way of knowing, you know, who's listening or the state or condition of your health, but don't wait until something happens before you call Brother Coy, before you know, don't call Brother Coy frantic, you
yeah.
know. Call Brother Coy while you can sit down and peacefully get some recommendations, you know, tune into the shows, you know, learn, ask questions, but don't wait until, you know, it's too late before you actually call or make some changes. That's what these shows are for. That's why we do these shows, so that you don't have to be in a frantic mode that your health is deteriorated to a point where you're either spitting up blood or, you know, the doctors have told you you got 6 weeks to live or, you know, something very, you know, something along those lines. Don't wait.
Yeah.
It's time. You're hearing this information. It's either for you or it's for somebody that you know. And so, again, you know, we learned something today about sugar. And I hear you, Brother Coy, and I'm going to share this information about the sugar and how that contributes to heart disease, heart attack, actually, and stroke. You mentioned capsicum, you know, and, again, I've read places, too, that cayenne pepper, which in capsicum, is that's the ingredient in cayenne pepper, correct?
Capsicum, yes, correct. And
so that
we've known for a long
time
it improves circulation, yes. We have known that, but no one has ever tied it to the fact that it can prevent a heart attack. If you in a situation where you are panicking, that's the first thing you should put in your pocket is some red pepper or capsicum extract. And if you feel like you're going out or you feel like something is happening, the red pepper, the capsicum, will actually stop a heart attack. And that's something you should have in your first aid kit or on your body at all times if you have, if you know you have a compromised circulatory system or you have some problem with your blood flow.
Okay.
So that alone would take the place of Viagra and vitamin C and all kind of stuff. But I think I still need my vitamin C. But if you once you get to flush with the vitamin C, the capsicum is something that will improve the flow and open up the arteries to a point to where you can basically come out of that deteriorated heart disease condition.
Hmm. Now let's talk about stress for a minute. You touched upon it, and you know, a lot of times people know and have been taught that stress will kill you. And of course we know this is true. Stress will kill you. But specifically in terms of this discussion tonight about heart attack and stroke, could you talk about the role that stress plays in heart attack and stroke? Because I saw some very interesting statistics online, even as it related to meditation and the role that plays in alleviating not just stress, but specifically heart attacks in African Americans. I read a very interesting stat that, of course, that heart attack is the number one killer, or heart trouble is the number one killer in the United States, and that African Americans are 50% or about 50% more likely to have heart trouble than other races.
Right.
So could you talk about stress and the role that plays?
Well, stress comes from a number of conditions. I mean, it can be in your environment. It can be in your work. It can be in in relationships. So stress comes at us from all ways. And if we don't have enough nutrition in the body to beat off that stress, it'll begin to weaken us, and it'll also affect the circulation system and all the other systems that we depend on to live, the immune system, all of that. So, yes, stress is a number one killer, but oxidative stress is probably the top of the line, and that stress that comes from it comes from your diet. It comes from your environment. When stress, the effects of stress on the body causes the immune system to shut down. So it causes your cells to cluster, and as a result, your cells doesn't get nutrition, and the trash can't get out. Nutrition can't get in, and the trash can't get out, and that's oxidative stress. So vitamin C is about as good as it gets for that. Then once you do that, then you got to open up the circulation so you can get the right flow so that you can feed those areas of the body and begin to eat right. If you don't change the diet to maybe a plant-based diet or to a more healthy diet, the stress is going to come back, and it's going to build up to a point to where you won't be able to manage it. So that probably is the major reason for heart attacks right there. You just stress yourself out to the point, and it can be a relationship or a marriage or a work environment or just being broke. All of those things create this kind of stress in the body that you really have to be nutritionally wise, you got to be strong enough for your body to fight it off and keep the immune system to the point to where it can take food to the cell and bring the waste out. As long as you can do that, you can manage the stress. But oftentimes, because of the way we eat and because we don't manage stress well, because we don't take time to slow down and order our day in the morning by stretching or just by praying or writing down the things that we need to take care of, it creates this stress, and we wind up going around and around and around in a ball of stress, and eventually it just knocks us out. So I would say stress is probably the most common factor in all kind of disease, but in terms of heart attacks, it is probably the most common factor, because it's It's about the inability to get control of your emotional state or your spiritual state or the holistic body or your dietary, your nutritional state to a place to where your body can perform the way it should without being overwhelmed. And that's what we need to learn how to do. What do our body need so that we don't get that, build up that stress, and how do we keep it up so that we don't wind up in a heart attack or in some disabled condition?
You know, I'd like to recommend a book, speaking of stress. And the book is by Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen, and it's called Stress Free for Life. The title is Stress Free for Life. And the subtitle is Manage Stress and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You. Now, I'm going to read that again. The name of the book is called Stress Free for Life, and the subtitle is Manage Stress and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You. Now, some people might say, well, wait a minute. I thought managing stress was good. Well, if you get this book and read it, you'll understand, because he actually goes into discussing that the goal should be to actually eliminate stress completely, altogether, you know, eliminate it, you know, not just manage it, but to actually eliminate it. And he talks about the different emotions and our stress reactions, our stress responses to certain situations that are actually the cause of the culprit, you know, because his position is that nothing in and of itself is stressful. I mean, because what might, you know, what one person might respond totally different than another person under the same conditions.
Right.
So, and it has to be beyond just that situation being stressful, but the individual's reaction or response to the situation. And a lot of that comes about because if we feel that we're justified in responding a certain way because we're only human, you know, then of course, then
you're managing stress.
You're actually justifying, along with the stress response, the corresponding ailments that come along with responding in a particular way. So if cortisol and other harmful, toxic chemicals are released into the bloodstream as a result of me responding in anger or worry or fear or, you know, jealousy or rage or something like that, then that can't be natural to my person. That can't be a natural response, okay, because if it's going to kill me, then, of course, God wouldn't want me to respond that way. So I recommend that everybody get the book. It's called Stress Free for Life, Manage Stress, and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You, and that's by Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
That's the whole theory behind loving your enemy. If you love your enemy, he won't stress you out. That's the whole idea behind it. Now, if you don't, it's going to take you out.
I love it. You know, this information is so powerful, and I just want to encourage everybody to share it. Because even if today's show, you might find yourself listening to this show, but you find yourself in a position where your heart is fine. You just came from the doctor. You got a good checkup. You never suffered from stroke or heart attack or anything like that, but you might know somebody who has. Please share this information with them. You can give them the link to the show. We've got all kinds of shows in the archives that people can go down and listen to. Brother Coy is a regular on the show, and I encourage everybody to go down and check out his shows because he's been with us for a few years now. We've talked about everything. So, again, I want to encourage everybody to get past his shop as well. I'm going to tell you how to do that shortly. But obesity, Brother Coy, could you talk about the role of obesity and the role that that may play in someone catching, for lack of a better term, a stroke and or a heart attack?
Well, obesity is stress on the body. Your body is designed to carry, your frame is designed to carry a certain amount of weight. And if you constantly subject it to overweight, your body is eventually going to break down. So that's another form of stress or a form of stress that can really take you out. So that's why it's important to try to not to get too fat. And if you find yourself getting out of control, do whatever you can to bring it under control. Because once you get used to carrying that fat, it's gonna lead you to some other conditions that's not gonna be so easy to handle, and eventually you will get so sick or you will get so knocked off your feet until your body will make you lose the weight, and then at that point you're probably carrying diabetes and high blood pressure and everything else with it. So weight loss is an essential part to good health, because every pound or so you carry over your normal or ideal weight, it creates so much stress on the body until it's just a matter of time until it breaks down. You'll get to a place to where you can't walk, or you'll get to a place to where you just get knocked off your feet, and your body will make you lose the weight. So weight loss is something, is another precursor to a lot of the conditions that lead to strokes and heart attacks. Yes.
Hmm. You know, I think a lot of people don't really know that. You know, they
right.
I think on a conscious level, you know, if you take an overweight person, they might understand that, oh, this isn't healthy for me. I'm not at a healthy weight. And I think that a lot of times people that are overweight they've heard that, you know, I mean, I've heard this statement before. I'm not overweight, but I've heard people use the term, oh, the person, they had a lot of fat around the heart. You know, may have heard that before. For people who are obese, they might have that in the back of their mind. Oh, I might be obese, and you know, I don't want a lot of fat around the heart. Is that actually what's going on? Is really fat around the heart? I mean, is that what's actually happening?
Well, it's definitely clogging up your arteries, and that's cholesterol. That's what you're going into. The fat is turning into cholesterol, and it's clogging up the heart, and that's the heart attack, or it's clogging up the flow to the brain, and that's the stroke. And it comes from just not carrying too much weight, or eating wrong, or whatever reason you're overweight. That's what it comes from. But the whole thing about the fat is that it comes from basically a plant, animal-based diet, and it's easily reversed by just switching to a plant-based diet. And then too, I think a lot of it is around how we perceive our women. You know, a lot of men say, oh, man, ain't that nice? And that's what they're looking at, the size of the butt or the size of the front. And that's what mm-hmm. they seem to gravitate to. And I think a lot of women give them that just so they can men can gravitate to them. But that's just something that I think it's going to take some time to weed out, because we think that because you're big, it's better. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good, healthy outlook on life. We shouldn't carry that. We should be doing everything to get them to reverse that as men, and insist that they do. But as of now, we still like to see the big hips, the big thighs, the big breasts. I mean, that's what we get off on, and that's what I think leads us into a lot of this weight thing, is because we think it's attractive.
You know, that's interesting. You mentioned that I did a show with Dr. Lathan on obesity, and you know, she was basically saying the exact same thing that you're saying. And we're not saying, and she brought this point out, she's not saying that women, that you should not love yourself regardless of your size, but part of the proof in loving yourself is to make sure
size.
yes definitely,
yeah.
By
yeah.
loving yourself, by making sure that you are at the proper weight. Yes, it's important that you look in the mirror and love yourself. And there are sisters out here that flaunt the bigness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like big,
yeah.
bold, and beautiful. You
runs
know,
in the family.
And that's,
yeah.
yeah, okay, right. Big,
yeah.
big boned, you know, as they
yeah.
say.
Yeah. That's
but,
what they call it. Yeah.
Yep.
But a lot of that, too,
but you got
to go back to the sugar. A lot of that comes from eating too much sugar. It's not so much the meat, it's the sugar. They just got the, you know, they started getting chocolate for Valentine's Day, and they just never stopped. They just kept going throughout the year and every year until it just kind of takes over their ability to control themselves, basically, yes.
Well, you know, I've heard you say one time, Brother Coy, and since we're just talking about obesity, that if a person actually comes to you, you can get them back to their high school. If they're willing to do what is necessary, you can get them back to their high school weight. And I think a lot of times people need some sort of motivation. You know, if preventive health isn't the motivation, if you're looking at yourself, let's say you take a sister or a brother who went to the doctor and they got a clean bill of health, but they were overweight. Doctor just said, you know, hey, you could stand to lose a couple of pounds, but your heart is good, you know, everything else is fine, you know. You could just stand to lose a couple of pounds. Now, that person might not, they just came from the doctor, so they might feel like, okay, well, health might not be my motivation. But maybe the high school reunion that's coming up in 6 months might be my motivation, you know. Or the fact that, you know, I looked at a picture, you know, it's nothing to hear a lady say, you know, hey, looking at an old picture, you know, hey, I used to be fine when I was 100 and, you know, 30 pounds, you know,
or
whatever.
Yeah, 60, whatever. Yeah,
oh, okay, for real. So the motivation might not be, for some people, optimal health. The motivation might be the high school reunion that's coming up, you know. But whatever the motivation is, for example, if they come to you and they're willing, you can actually, if the motivation isn't optimal health, then let optimal health be the byproduct. You know, they can come to you just to get ready for the high school reunion, and in the process eliminate some condition or just completely avoid some condition that might be coming down the pike.
That's great. That is a possibility, and oftentimes we need some motivation, because that's usually when you come into the health food store because you're trying to get someplace that you're not, and you need some help. And if you're willing to go through the process, we can get you there. But oftentimes we're so addicted to our way of life until whatever we do is just not going to work, because, number one, you may not believe that it's going to work, and, number two, you may not have the energy or desire to do what's necessary to get it done. So it's a whole process of getting a person to change or think about life differently to the point to where they can actually transform from a place to where they are to where they want to be. But it's not impossible, and it's not that difficult to do. It's just understanding what you need to do and making the commitment to do it. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, let's talk for a moment, Brother Coy, about reoccurring strokes and heart attacks, because I believe you may have said it once before that if a person has already had a heart attack, they are at a higher risk than someone that has not had one to having another. Is that correct?
That is true, and we have to, because of what we've been talking about, if you have a habitual way of life, it's difficult to change it. Even if you have a stroke, you'll wind up going back to the same thing that led you to the stroke. So it's just human. It's just the way we, human psychology. That's just the way we operate. So to make that change, it's almost like you have to turn your back on everything that you know, separate yourself from everything that you know, and go and just start doing things totally different. And if you don't do that, you're running the risk of going back into where you come from. And that's the same thing with drugs or anything else. If you don't stay away from it or make a correction in what you think, you'll find yourself back in it, yes.
You know, everybody, I just want to encourage you to, you know, listen to this show again. And if there's somebody in your life that you know has had heart trouble, had a heart attack or stroke or both, or obese, or eats a lot of sugar, then encourage them to listen to this show. Because, again, when you're listening to Brother Coy, you're listening to somebody
that has cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. If that's not a healer, then there's no such thing as a healer, okay? And he's been doing this work for over 35 years. He's seen conditions, I mean, after conditions, after conditions, after conditions. But the key here is you're going to have to listen. You know, I remember talking to Dick Gregory one time, and he shared that if he gave an example of if he was in a hotel and got a phone call, and somebody that he trusted said, listen, Dick, you need to be out of that hotel. It's going to blow up at 11 o'clock tonight. You need to get out of there. Wherever you are, do not be in that hotel. And now, if he took the position that they don't know what they're talking about, you know, and he stayed there and then he got blown up in the hotel and died, he said people would say that he died, or what happened to Dick? Oh, he died because, you know, he got blown up in the hotel. He said, no, the reason I would have died was because I didn't listen. Okay. So now, everybody, I hope you're listening to this show, not just hearing it. I hope you're listening, okay, because this information has the potential to not just change your life, it can actually save your life. And so I want to make sure that we give Brother Coy's information, because I know that there's somebody out there that's ready to change their life. And somebody is ready to needs to have their life saved. So, Brother Coy, could you give your hours of operation and a phone number where people can reach you? Because I know that somebody's going to want to contact you.
Yes, I'm located at 393923 South Capitol Street, Southwest in Washington, D.C. The telephone is 202-562-0041. And my hours of operation, 8 to 6 every day but Sunday. And sometimes I'll take a day off because I need to deal with my stress, too. So I'll take maybe a Saturday off or Monday off. But if you leave a message, if you call and leave a message, 202-562-0041, I'll get back at you as soon as I get back in. So I try to make myself available, and all you have to do is just call, and that we can make arrangements, or we can talk, or we can find out what's going on. And I can give you some advice, or I can send you products anywhere in the world, or you can come in and you can get some good food. I got a vegetarian restaurant here, and most of the supplements that you need I carry in the store also. So I'll be glad to work with or assist anyone that's willing to go this way. That's who my customers are, the people that are willing to listen and make the change that's needed to get better. I do better with those people than people that I have to convince. I'm getting too old to try to convince people of stuff. If they can't understand what's going on, I got to move on to the next one.
You know, that's heavy, because there are a lot of people out there that, like you said before, like you've told before, they don't ask the doctor no questions at all, but they ask you, they give you the third degree, bro.
For hours and hours. They call back next week with the same questions,
But let me,
I'm patient, and I thank God they give me patience to deal with it, and that's what have kept me going, so that's fine.
I just want everybody to know, too, that you do sell loose herbs as well, because, you know, they're hard to find loose herbs. A person or your establishment that sells good quality loose herbs.
And we are losing those loose herbs real fast. With the global warming, which we haven't talked much about, a lot of the plants that are indigenous to the earth, we are losing. The ones that manage to make it to market, they're making it more difficult because they require more testing, and they make it more expensive to produce. So a lot of the distributors just don't carry it anymore, and we have to learn how to start growing these things ourselves. And we're first getting some land to grow on, and then begin to grow these things so we can don't lose the only lifeline that we have left in the world.
Well, Brother Coy, again, I'm going to say the number again. Everybody, you need to write this number down. You need to put it on your refrigerator so that every time you go in there, you see Brother, you see King Coy on the refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go in there, you make sure that you're reaching for something that's going to help you, going to keep and maintain your health. The number is 202-562-0041. Again, that's Secrets of Nature, 202-562-0041. Again, Brother Coy can ship his products to you wherever you are in the world. Okay, so there's no excuse. You can't say, oh, well, I don't live in that area. Brother Coy can ship it to you. Okay, so if you have questions, all you have to do, hey, that's okay. Be one of the ones that call in and ask him a question.
That's right. I'll,
you know
I'll
what I mean?
You,
call
I'll...
back in a week. You know, ask him again. You know, but ask. Okay?
Yeah.
No,
don't stop asking. Right.
Stop asking. Don't stop asking. Brother Coy, anything else that we haven't touched upon concerning the heart attack and stroke that you might want to add before we close the show tonight?
Well, I think we pretty much covered it, but really it's something that a heart attack or stroke is something that's preventable and avoidable. That's the main thing. It's nothing that we have to go through. It just takes a matter of understanding how do you get in that fix and how do you avoid that fix. And oftentimes it's just the way we eat or the way we think or what we do and what we don't do that really
mm-hmm.
makes the difference in terms of whether we come in contact with a stroke or a heart attack. So we don't have to go through either one, but if you're hard-headed, you're going to run into it, and you may not even be aware of why or how unless you begin to look at yourself in a way that you want to live and do
mm-hmm.
the things that are necessary. And first of all, most of all, you have to study.
And you know what, I mean, that's, I can't add to that, but I just wanted to say, because I just thought about somebody, please get your checkups too, because I remember, I sent to Brother Coy, who actually went to the doctor, was feeling good, was just going to the doctor to get a checkup, hadn't had a checkup in years, wasn't feeling bad, just went to get a checkup, and come to find out the brother had high blood pressure. Okay, and it was at dangerous levels, but he didn't have any symptoms. Right, he was feeling fine. You know,
same thing
so
with Brother Bay. Remember Brother Bay? That brother, he was. We grew up together here in the health food industry.
Mm-hmm.
He was out all in the neighborhood, telling everybody to go get checked for prostate cancer, and he hadn't even had his own checkup. So when they all got to the office, everybody got a checkup. He was the only one that had it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that's how he died.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
By the time they found it, it was too late, and it had ravished through his body.
Mm. See, that's important. That's important. So it's not about what you know. What you know is good, but you got to practice what you know.
You got to go. You got to go.
You know, so you got to do what you got to do. This information is not going to help you if you don't use it. You've got to use it, okay? It's more than just being able to regurgitate this information and spit it out. So we feel good when we know something, right? When we learn something new, it makes us feel good that we got some new knowledge. But if you do not apply that knowledge to your life, okay, then you know better off than somebody that never got the knowledge. It's like reading, right? A man that won't read is no better off than a person that can't read, you know?
Yeah.
So if you got this information, then by all means, apply it. And again, take the tips that you learned from this show today. Hey, everybody, it's time to eliminate that sugar, okay? It's time to let it go. It's time to let that go. We're going to talk about, I have Brother Coy back on. We'll talk about some alternatives, maybe stevia or some other things, some honey. But it's time to let the sugar go. Stress, it's time to eliminate stress. Again, get this book. It is called Stress Free for Life. Manage stress, and it will hurt you, might even kill you. That's by Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amin. Again, the premise is do not control stress. Get rid of it. Okay. get rid of it altogether, okay? So definitely get the book. Get by Brother Corey's shop again. That's 202-562-0041. You need to call him first thing in the morning, okay? You need to give him a call, find out how you can, get over there to his establishment. Awesome, awesome establishment he has over there. You want some vegetarian, vegan cuisine? You need to get by Secrets of Nature. You want some herbs? You want some? You on a health food path, and you need to have a place where you can go, where you can. Matter of fact, you can go there and fellowship, because you're gonna run into somebody that you know. I guarantee.
Yeah, they come. Yeah.
You know, so Brother Corey, I want to thank you so much, my brother, for all of the years that you have been on this path. You've been healing people, those that would listen. You're ready to listen, and you're ready to change, and you're willing to let some things go. If you have to let some things go, then Brother Corey is the person that can actually, again, change your life. And I want to make an announcement, by the way, before we go. Everybody, again, you remember Dr. Ruby Lathan, who's a regular on the show. Well, she's got a health summit that she's going to be a part of, and it's called Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. Again, it's called Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. That's going to be February the 4th, 2017, from 9 to 5 p.m., and that's going to be in Washington, D.C., at the Trinity Washington University. And you register www.myhealthsummit.com. And my is, that's M, capital M, small y, capital H in health, capital S in summit. So, again, that's www.myhealthsummit.com. That's going to be February the 4th, 2017, from 9 to 5 p.m. at the Trinity Washington University, and that's how you register. It's called the Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. And I'm so blessed to have people like Brother Corey, Dr. Lathan, Dr. Watkins. Matter of fact, coming up in the spring, we're going to have another holistic health workshop, and going to get, can you imagine Dr. Lathan, Brother Corey, and Dr. Watkins on the same ticket? Well, I want everybody to get ready, because I'll be giving you more information about how you can come out and hear these powerful, powerful healers share information that can actually change your life. I gotta let Brother Corey go. As much as I want to keep him and talk to him for another hour, I gotta be respectful of his time. We've already gone past the hour. So Brother Corey, I want to thank you again, my brother, for all of the years that you've been patient with us as we evolve, and you continue to share, and because you're constantly learning, and every time you learn something, you share it with us. And so, I just want to say thank you so much for all of the years of your tireless service, and pray that God continues to bless you with much more success and much more patience to deal with us.
Yes. I hear you, and I wish that, without you, no one would hear me, so without you, I wouldn't be able to do what I do, so I'm thankful for what you do, and I pray you be blessed and keep up the good work and spread the word throughout the world. We'll see.
I shall do that, my brother. Again, it's easy with people like you I don't support any and everybody. I don't interview any and everybody,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But,
you know,
people like yourself that have been doing this and doing it successfully, you are truly a healer, my brother. And I don't use that word lightly. You know, I don't just throw that around. You're truly, you've earned that title, my brother. You earned it. And, I pray that, God, again, continue to open doors for you. And we're very, very blessed to have you as one of the resident teachers here on Health, Wealth, and Divine. So until the next time, my brother, peace and blessings to you. And, everybody, again, don't forget, let the sugar go. Call Corey in the morning, 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Again, my name is Jawanza. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.